the Dolphins. I'm your host, Dave Kinney, here with super special guest Mike Mercadal.
The most special. Well, I don't know if you could hear it in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. So much space in this dome.
That's the how empty it is without football. I mean, there's just nothing going on.
Now, our regular season program's over. These are our OTAs.
This is OTAs. We're watching curling like a bunch of savages. What are we doing?
Now, today the special topic we're going to get to. We're going to get to it a little bit later after we cover what little business there is.
There's not a lot.
Basically 2 minutes from now.
Hold on to your hats for 2 minutes.
This week is which five Dolphins, current or prior,
right,
would you want to have your back in a fight?
Yep. We're basically having a rumble.
Yeah.
But like a old school West Side Story rumble where it's like scheduled and choreographed, where it's like we arrange it this time.
We just all choose kickers. My first pick is Olindo Mare.
Yeah, that's that.
Kick you right in the fucking face.
All right, we gotta wait.
We'll get to it. We're each choosing five. We're doing it draft style. He picks, I pick. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, we'll do the snake where it's like I pick, you pick, then you pick, I pick, I pick, you pick. So we're not like always stealing. No one gets advantage.
No, exactly. So yeah, I mean, what little news there is. Good news on TJ McDonald. A month ago. He's on a probation for a DUI that happened before we even signed him.
Right. Isn't it refreshing how a DUI is like fine? Like that's as long as he didn't beat a woman child.
That's the world we live in.
A DUI, you're like good, fine, good.
Yeah,
we'll take it.
Was it just alcohol you tested positive for? Fine,
fine.
We're cool here.
Yeah,
yeah. It's I mean, we signed him knowing that. I mean, we signed him knowing that he was already going to miss half the season. He played great for us, so that's why. Like a month ago, when the probation got revoked, it was scary because I mean, like that's. There's a lot of parts of our team that need to be fixed. We'll go into that more in other episodes.
For sure.
We've already talked about it in pretty good detail. But he is definitely part of the solution. DJ McDonald played really well,
when he came back.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
So it looks like apparently he's on track with all the community service and stuff. So it looks like all that's going to get resolved and it's going to work itself out.
But were you saying that his probation got revoked?
Yeah. So his probation got revoked. I guess this part I'm less sure on. The impression I got is that he was supposed to be, as part of the terms of his probation, he was supposed to be doing certain community service stuff and stuff like that. And apparently, I don't know if it was that he was behind on it. Or I think it was more that it didn't get revoked because he committed another crime. I think it was just that he wasn't.
They were like really drilling it into him. It's like, look, it's not like you had a postseason.
Well, I mean, he could have had to go to jail.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So I mean, it definitely was a very serious thing.
Also, he committed a crime that can be fixed by like getting him an Uber account.
Yeah.
Like just the Dolphins are like, look, just Uber everywhere. We'll pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to drive yourself
There's just no reason to.
They'll hire a driver for him. Like fucking, Argyle in Die Hard. They'll just have a dude with a limo.
Argyle.
Just driving around.
The best Christmas movie.
I just saw it. So like, not for the first time. I just watched it yesterday. And so it's like fresh in my mind. But they totally saw the TJ McDonald thing. He's behind on his community service or
and
whatever.
And that's the thing. Knows. I mean, he said he's back on track. Other good news, Tony Lippitt, apparently his rehab is on track. So it looks like he's going to be ready for the season.
Has there been any news on the Tannehill knee? He's supposed to be ahead of schedule.
Yeah. I mean, they said he should even be ready for the offseason program, which is great.
Well, good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on. We're still talking about drafting all those other people.
Well, corner too. I mean, again, we're going to go into this more, but I mean, they've been talking about definitely eyeing getting another corner in either free agency and or the draft. Mm. I mean, right now you have Xavien Howard, and Cordarrelle Tankersley, who both played really inconsistently this past season.
That's a good word to nice.
Xavien Howard. I mean,
benefit
two,
of the doubt.
There were two games where he had all those interceptions and like he was Pro Football Focus's like player of the game where it's like, holy shit, this light came on. And then like some games he's just getting completely roasted.
Yeah. He was ranked, NFL.com ranked him as a sixth best cover corner in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
That's high.
That is high.
You know, I, for a lot of the mistakes he was making.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's high. I mean, he was. It's probably because he had those like in big play, game.
Yeah, I mean, there were
play games.
There were 2 weeks where I mean, he was like one of the best defenders in the league. But I mean, the hope is that the light came on for him and that he kind of figured stuff out and that it's going to stick. Cordarius Tankersley played really well, especially for as young as he is.
Yep.
Tony Lippett coming back. I mean, he led the team in interceptions, which pretty low bar that season.
Right.
But then, I mean, he also played receiver in college, so he had to learn the position. So he was kind of a project that way. But yeah, with him coming back, but I definitely agree that you can't have too many corners.
We need two that we can count on.
We
need a glut of players at a certain position so then we can cull the herd. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like we need to pick the best out of what we have available to us, but we need more than just what's available to us to be, you know what I mean? Like,
and that's what you see in the teams that are going deep in the playoffs is depth. I mean, it's just the idea that like you have like one, I mean, some positions we don't even have necessarily one good person, like a guard is a good example
right,
of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that there's a lot of positions where it's like, we have like a good person, but the depth after that is like, people who were working at Publix 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's like there's this real drop off of like, let's just hope we play this violent game and not a single person gets hurt. Like that's not a great strategy.
They're Mark Wahlberging for like Invincible.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just like, yeah, we're just holding out tryouts in this Publix parking lot. You know, whoever shows up, odds are that better for you than, you know, than average. If you show up, you might get on the team.
Yeah. There definitely are seasons where you're like, I don't know if that would, I feel like it might field a better team than what we have.
Or like the replacements when they start getting, remember that Keanu Reeves movie where start getting sumo wrestlers and shit?
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, all right.
Whatever works.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah.
Did you hear that they might be redesigning the logo again? I got so happy until they said it was not a drastic change. I was like,
but that was the thing. They said uniform change. So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the logo itself or just the uniforms and subtle. What I don't understand about it is I remember like when they first like came out with the throwbacks, I was like, am I like the only person who kind of likes the throwbacks better? And no, everyone, 100% of everyone. It's like, what the fuck do they get out of not giving us what we want? It's like, it reminds me of like, it's a weird cross-reference, but like, Star Wars. Everyone, like all the Star Wars nerds, all wanted them to release the original films in the original format, not that special edition bullshit.
Yes.
And to that, George Lucas has continually held up two middle fingers and been like, fuck off. But then he sold it to Disney and they're like, maybe they'll do it. They're like, no. It's rare that you have something where it's like all the fans are so completely on board. And like the people who are like, we're their demographic. We're the people who are buying their products. We're the people buying the tickets. We're the people all this other shit. So to not give us what we want, like what's in it for you?
And only the real diehards are the ones buying season tickets. And like the most diehard fans are the ones that want the old uniform the most. Like it's literally in your favor to play to placate those people.
Sure.
That are the ones buying.
They're your customers.
Yeah, they're your regulars. They're your repeat business.
Yeah, and it's not like the word hasn't found its way to them.
Yeah,
like they've been pretty clear about it. And I also want to be clear too. This isn't just something where this isn't like a pure nostalgia play on my part. And that like sometimes there definitely are teams that objectively change their uniforms, change their logos, change their colors in ways that are better.
Yeah, that's good.
100%. That is clearly not what happened here. I mean, it's not just our opinion as Dolphins fans, even all around the league, it's our uniforms are terrible and our throwbacks look great. This is the easiest fix of all time.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Do they owe the designer like back royalty fees? Is there like, was there like a patent thing or a trademark thing?
Yeah. It's like Steven Ross's like nephew designed the logo.
Yeah. Or like the old guy was like, oh, you want to keep using my logo? It's time to renew that trademark.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay me $62 trillion.
You it's take like, that dolphin, you put a fucking helmet on it like it should be.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have simple needs.
You know, it's like, or whatever. It's just frustrating because like every time it literally is the an overwhelming majority of Dolphins fans want uniform.
You're talking to me now in the Dolphin Dome and I'm wearing like the throwback logo on the hat.
Yeah.
All the shit I have is like, it's either like Mitchell and Ness.
I don't want any of that new shit.
Well, cause it's like, you would say it's not going to age well, but that would imply that it's working now.
It never worked.
Like it just from the first time any of us saw it. And by the way, if you're listening to this, please feel free. Contact us on Twitter at Saving the Fans, PHINS. I want to hear that take. I want to hear a take from one person that our current uniform and logo is the best the team had and we should stick with it forever. Right. I want to hear that take from a single person.
I imagine that they are I dare you that they're the ultimate contrarian.
No, of course.
Like they're literally like, no, I like the, I don't know what you guys are. Also like, you know, the prequels are way better than the originals.
My favorite singer of Van Halen, Gary Cherone. And you're like, oh, no. Fuck you. Oh,
that hurt my heart a little bit.
That's the hottest of hot takes.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Well, you know what? Gary Cherone is like, fuck you.
And that's when I feel like they really came into their own. Like, you don't even believe that. You're just saying it to be a dick.
Right. And that's that type of person who's like, you know, like no, literally.
And I think that's the analogy. I think that like David Lee Roth is the old logo, the throwback logo. Sammy Hagar is like the 97 to like 2000
before the change. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the intense, angry dolphin. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Now the dolphin,
put eyebrows on it.
Now the dolphin's pissed.
Yeah.
Like, this time it's personal. But again, Sammy Hagar, you know, not terrible. Like it's not, it's David Lee Roth. Like definitely when you think Van Halen, you're thinking David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
But those the Sammy Hagar years, they're not great, but it's like,
that's when they sold the most albums actually. And when they sold them, when they went
fucking Right Here, Right Now,
Right Here, Right Now. Yeah. Video. I watched it a bunch of times.
Crystal clear Pepsi.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They made a ton of money off that Right Now song.
Yeah.
And they also, they had a song in the Power Rangers movie with Sammy Hagar. They had a song in the movie Twister.
See,
with Sammy Hagar.
This is the kind of shit you're going to get in the off season.
In the off season. This is what you get. But it's like, it was serviceable.
Sure.
It was.
Yeah.
Product worthy, you slap it on my jersey.
It's
my
only bad if you compare it to older Van Halen.
Like exactly.
That's like when everyone was so mad at Metallica, like when they came out with like Load and Reload and shit, because everyone was so mad. But it's like you're only mad because you're comparing it to their other albums, which are some of the best metal albums of all time.
Right.
You know, like compared to Master of Puppets, it sucks. You know what else sucks compared to Master of Puppets? Everything.
Yeah.
Everything in the whole world.
It's like, oh, they really sold out, but I would much rather listen to Load than Puddle of Mud.
But again, that's the thing, like you take Load and just imagine they're a new band and think about the other shit that was on the radio at the time, which look, mid-90s, that was actually a pretty good time for radio, but they still found time for fucking Candlebox and shit like that. And like,
oh, I had a soft spot for Candlebox. I listen to it now and I'm like, oh, I was a weird teenager.
I can't tell if this is just a hot take.
No, I genuinely, I'm not being the contrarian here. That was a weird Florida, they were big in Florida for some reason. Yeah. Candlebox. I don't know what.
It was all that fucking throaty music. Cause it was all that I remember like Seven Mary Three.
Oh,
they were out of Gainesville.
That's right. This is what you get when you talk about old logos. We're literally comparing old.
Normally,
what are we fucking doing? Yeah,
this look, it gets weird in the off season.
It gets weird.
Look, here's what you can do as a listener. We encourage you, numbers wise, I will say this, and I don't know if I've told you this, our numbers since the season ended have gone up considerably.
Wow.
I think
are people binging us?
Yeah, I think so. It was so surprising because I'm like, I kind of assumed that it was just going to kind of go into a coma in the off season.
Sure.
That is not the direction shit has gone.
Well, I appreciate
you guys really apparently want to hear about Candlebox. And you know what? We're here. Unlike the Dolphins, we care about our fans.
Yeah, unlike them, we're here for you, and we appreciate
service
you listening.
The customer.
So yeah, let us know what you want to hear. We'll talk about it. We'll see, if you have hot candle box opinions, yeah, we want to debate them.
It's a spinoff podcast. Welcome back to Candle Talks. I know you're listening to this and you're like, he must have written that ahead of time. That's the best joke I've ever heard in my life. Nope, off the dome.
What they don't hear is the 6 minute silence you told me to stop talking. We got, and then you edit out the silence, silence till you land on the perfect one.
Yeah, exactly. Candle.
Oh, you can't, and then you just cut it out and it comes together.
Every one of these podcasts is 9 hours long and we just edit down into the pure gold that you're listening to right now. It's only pure editing magic that makes this happen.
Oh no.
You were saying the schedule came out.
Schedule. We're smack dab in, well, not in the middle. We're in the 15th. We're ranked 15th for difficulty.
Yeah, I mean that is the middle. 16th would be like dab in the middle.
Like we're like right there.
Yeah.
Smack dab in the middle. And I think that says a lot about what they think about our team.
Yeah.
It's literally, I can't argue it. I can't argue against it or for it. Like, it's just like, yeah.
You know. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, we talked in the last episode about the betting odds. That there's only six teams in the league that have as worse odds to win the Super Bowl next year than we do. And, I mean, I would say that, like, as bad as our team is, I mean, especially not only did the season end poorly record-wise, it also ended with, like, fighting on the field, and just like kind of chaos. So it didn't seem like it was moving in a super great direction, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of talent there.
And like, you don't like all that, backbiting and contract bullshit and all that offseason. That only serves to make the team stronger.
Sure. Jarvis Watch, still on. I hate spending too much time on this just because it's so time sensitive. By the like we're recording this, you know, like Monday afternoon. So by the time you're listening to this, it could have already been resolved one way or the other.
It could be happening right now.
If it
drops mid podcast, how on point would we be?
God. We're just screaming. You're just listening to us scream hysterically. Yeah, it's
I have text alerts on my phone.
I think the biggest problem in all this whole like negotiation shit is the Dolphins have a track record of nothing makes us happier than overpaying our own players in contract extensions that were not needed.
But they have Kiko Alonso is like,
Kiko Alonso.
They have to underform the next year. That's just the way it works.
And look, I mean, some of them worked out okay. Rashad Jones, we signed to a giant extension that he didn't really, need, but he also played up to it. So yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against, if it keeps him happy, then great.
But Jarvis Landry is kind of like one of our face players. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's a face player. He represents the team. He's one of our standouts. He's probably one of the more, probably the most, I guess, talented, like just in terms of his position.
If you're a non-Dolphins fan and you have to name one Dolphins player, he's probably the one that comes up. Probably like Ndamukong Suh maybe.
Right. I'm sure there are other good players that are not in the like ESPN.
Sure.
Highlight reel, you know, they're not getting top 10 plays, getting a good block on kickoff return. You know what I mean?
Sure. And that's the thing. I mean, he brings all the skills as catching, but also like his run blocking and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that for this guy to be struggling to get, unless he's asking for astronomical amounts of money, which I think he is kind of.
No, he said he wants to get paid like a number one. Like, I mean, he's comparing his salary to Julio Jones, and we've talked about it.
Yeah. He's a slot receiver, and that's what makes him dangerous, and that's also what makes him productive, but also that's what makes him not. I mean, it makes him replaceable. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing.
It just bumps me out that I mean, like he's definitely going to go to the Patriots.
Because
that's the kind of world we live in. You know, just a world where everything terrible that can happen to the Dolphins has to also benefit the Patriots for some reason or the Eagles.
Or the Eagles. Apparently the Eagles.
I think that's one of the toughest things though, is that it's like, if you're the Patriots and you're like letting one of your best players go or trading them away as they do all the fucking time, or like the Steelers who all the time cut ties with dudes who have played really well for them.
Yeah,
you trust them because they have enough of a track record of like the Patriots and Steelers specifically are the two teams I could think of that have a great track record of getting rid of dudes right before they kind of hit the decline.
Right.
Where it's like, it's like, even it feels like it might even be like a season too early, but then you see the way the next season goes for them at some other team and you're like, no, they hit that shit right on time. And I think that's the problem with the Dolphins is that like, if our front office had the kind of track record that the Patriots front office does or the Steelers or some of these other top organizations.
That is too hard to even imagine. Like what you just said is like, look, let's imagine
regular season is the time for football talk. Off season is the time for imagination.
It's literally like you'd literally just say, let's imagine the front office is a team of unicorns, right? Yeah, like, exactly. And they're pulling a big giant sled full of cyclopses with wings. And like literally
equally
as believable.
But if you're tuning for a team that has that kind of a track record and they let a top tier player like Jarvis Landry go, you know, because his contract demands are too high. Like when the Steelers let Mike Wallace go, because they were like, he's not worth the crazy money he's asking. Some really stupid team, I'm sure, will way overpay him. And they were right.
And then the Dolphins peek their head in like, hello, hi.
My ears were burning.
Someone talking about me?
Yeah. But that's the thing, though. I think that it's, if our team had a better track record and they were going to let someone like Jarvis Landry go, like you'd be like, I mean, I like Jarvis Landry, but I also kind of trust the system. They just don't have any of that trust from us. And if anything, every trade, I mean, I think at best trades of theirs, like the Ajayi trade, which we've beaten to death. Mm-hmm. I think at best their trades in hindsight are not quite as stupid as they initially seemed, but like there aren't a whole lot of trades that are like, I mean, we get Kenny Stills for some late picks
very rarely will there be a front office move from the Dolphins and we're like, nailed it.
Kenny Stills was a good trade.
Yeah.
It was like a third or a fourth round pick and he was still playing on his rookie contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which we've of course signed him an extension for a bunch of money, but like he was like making, I think it was still like under $1 million a season. And we got him for like a third or a fourth round pick. And like, that was a trade that worked out for us.
Yeah.
It's a short list though.
That's what I'm saying. Like there's a very few times where we're like, that could not have gone any better. Like you were like, perfect. We got everything. Nine times out of 10, we're just like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Yeah.
And for what?
You know, that's the thing. I mean, there's so much built-in parity in this league about like the advantages to teams that are shitty, that like to stay shitty or like more to the point like where we are to stay mediocre. Yeah, because it's not because I mean we've very rarely been in like Browns land. Or up until this season, what had generally been called Jaguars land.
I went to Browns land last night. If I wouldn't have stumbled over it, it would have been funnier.
Yeah. Anal sex joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to go for a high five and be like, woo, Cleveland, Brown town.
See, this is what the OTAs are for. We're tightening this stuff up. So then during the regular season, all our anal sex jokes are going
to
hit
when we run this in scrimmage in real life.
Yeah.
When we run this in scrimmage, once we get to preseason, it'll be a lot better. A lot tighter. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good anal sex joke where like everybody laughs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone wants that.
Everyone loves a good anal joke.
All asking for it all the time.
Oh man, what are we talking about? What are we doing? I will say this about the Jarvis Landry thing. It does seem hopeful. It's like you shake up the magic eight ball, all signs point to yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what everyone is expecting, but that hasn't always been how the Dolphins do it. So like until the contract is signed, it's still,
I think that it as a player, not just, I mean, he's really been like one of the only things that's been going consistently right with our offense.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's other good players on the offense. Kenyon Drake came on like at the end of the last season. Yeah. I mean, there's been other things, but it's in an offense that has struggled so much during the time that he's been here. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of times where it's like, if you take his numbers out, there's just like no offense
there's
at
no
all.
Game.
The entire offense.
And again, suffering through the Jay Cutler situation, suffering through the Tannehill injury to Jay Cutler, like he's got to be frustrated because this was the year before his contract renegotiation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he wanted to have a high ground.
And that's the thing. I mean, they're like looking at his numbers, but it's, I mean, if you're a receiver, the person who's throwing the ball, that it's kind of an important factor.
When I moved to New York and I saw what New York numbers were for rent and salary and, sure. you know, grocery costs and stuff. Cost of living up here is... those are New York numbers.
Sure.
It took me a long time to get used to New York numbers yeah. versus Miami numbers.
Sure.
That's like looking at, you know, Jarvis Landry's, you know, stats. Those are Jay Cutler numbers.
Sure.
You got to be thinking about other, you know, like yeah. higher quality numbers. These no, are, you're 100%. Looking at, these are Jay Cutler numbers. It's not an accurate portrayal of what to expect, you know, when yeah. you get somebody else in here.
Seamlessly transitioning though, like the intensity that he brings, including like Ooh. Ending some dude's entire football careers. And like, just, he's a dude who, if anything, gets into fights a little bit too much, but.
Are we doing it?
Yeah, we're doing it.
Uh-oh. I will let you.
This is the Royal Rumble Draft 2018. Dolphins players.
I want there to be music like, you're like,
now to be clear, I didn't give you any parameters to work with at all.
No,
I will only say that the strategy I'm drafting with, I'm not doing it purely in like a pure fight sense. I right. feel like everyone you'd pick would have to be linemen. Just in that, like, size and size alone.
I'm not going for size and size alone.
Like, it's size is a factor. I mean, it definitely is. I definitely don't have any kickers on my list.
Well,
but it is something where it's like, I did mix it up a little bit size wise, like a tiny bit. Also, I will, I'll say this ahead of time. I'm 34 years old. I'm naturally biased by the time in which I've been watching.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's one player from like the 70s. It's probably the one you've thought of too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on my mind. The no-name defense of the 70s though, like a lot of those players.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like it's, I just don't know them well enough.
This is totally just social. Like this is just what, honestly, without a lot of.
I just don't want some fucking snooty tweet. Like, how the fuck did you leave off? Like this dude who played 73. I'm like, I was really busy not being born then.
Let me put it this way. So we have a mutual friend, you know, Nary yeah. Science. Mm-hmm. He has a podcast called Mount Geekmore where they do like the Mount Rushmore of things.
Cool.
And it's a great podcast. Super fun. It gets real granular nerdy.
Nice. That's exactly where this is going.
Right. But it's about like everything. So they'll do like a Mount Rushmore of like Schwarzenegger movies or a Mount Rushmore of TV theme songs.
Sure.
And then basically it's like the four you would carve on a mountain. Like, this is my mountain.
Yeah.
You have your own criteria for it. It's your yeah. mountain. You yeah. do what you do. With your no, mountain.
Exactly.
So what we're doing is that we're, and shout out to Nary and sure. Geek Bro Net, and you can find it all on yep. you know, whatever. But like, I'm literally just pulling this out of my ass.
Yeah. That's yeah. I'm just being crystal clear about that ahead of time.
And tweet us all you want. We will mock you for taking this way too seriously. There's
definitely going to be a real bias towards like 90s and 2000 players, just because those are the games I've been watching. It would be dumb for me to try to go on and on about like players that I've only seen on like NFL Classic.
Yeah. You know what? My approach, you said you're not, I'm probably going to have I'm putting this together because I'm also a huge nerd and I'm about to start. We're going to be playing.
You got the first
pick. I'm putting my D&D adventuring party together. I need a caster. I need a barbarian.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a ranger scout type situation. Maybe a rogue.
Yeah.
So
I think for me, it's a sneaky strong white dude. I'm trying to think of the different character yeah. classes of football fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, like that's what scrapper who's willing to do anything.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you, so first pick, what do you got? Oh, I'm going for it.
Yeah,
I thought you were going for it. I am going with this one is literally just from my heart.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to steal it from you because I know yeah. you want him.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take Cameron Wake.
Cameron Wake.
Cameron Wake himself.
I'm going to be honest with you.
The veteran of the team.
Cameron Wake, not in my five.
Really?
And the reason why.
How dare you? I'm so offended. I'm clutching my pearls.
I got it. First, you tell me the reasons why before I tell you the reasons why not.
Oh, okay. First of all, every team needs a leader.
Yeah.
And in terms of ass kickery, I don't,
he's the physique of a leader, but he just, as a locker room presence, he's kind of a man of few words. Like, he's not like the vocal leader of the locker room as much.
But it's also going to be a fight, right? Like, we're rumbling.
No. And this is the thing, like, muscle wise, needs no explanation.
Yeah. And everyone needs a cover for the calendar when we do the calendar, right? We're having a calendar at some point.
I love how I was like, hey, pick dudes for a fight. And you're like, and there's going to be a fight.
Yep, that's right.
I love that you've been in so few fights in your life that you just assume every fight that there's a calendar that's released afterwards.
I have been in my fair share of fights. All of them end with cameras out. Why not get someone who's super photogenic and handsome?
And now let's get something fun for March. Huh? It's like springtime, so just, you know, maybe something green.
Hand him an umbrella for April showers. Like, you got it? No, but I think Cameron Winkin is prime.
Physically.
Just tearing heads off of people.
100%.
He's my barbarian. He's the run in there, tear heads off.
Yeah.
He's a strategic person. He's got a good football mind. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I want him when he's in pass rush mode. He's raging.
Yeah.
Barbarian.
He looks like an action hero. It's just,
absolutely.
I feel like it's strength wise in a fight. 100% right. My only reservation on him is he just is such a nice dude.
He's so nice.
Like if anything, like as big and like crazy as he is, and by the way, feel free. I could be way off on this, but it's just the impression I get from all his interviews. And even like as strong as his game is, it just seems like he'd be the dude who's like, guys, come on, let's use our words.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
He's like wearing like a blazer.
I'm
like,
imagining.
God damn it, Cameron Wake. We're trying to fight here. Cameron Wake's like, guys, please.
Yeah, he's like, everybody, well, think about it. Let's handle this with some diplomacy.
Maybe I'm forgetting it, but like all the time he's been playing on the field, like all the time you'll see dudes get into like shoving matches and shit like that. And like whistles get thrown and like dudes are like pushing each other. Have you ever seen like Cameron Wake? I mean, obviously goes after the quarterback like a fucking maniac between the whistles.
Yeah.
But like, have you ever seen like an extracurricular Cameron Wake's getting some extra punches in?
Are we talking about off the field antics? Or are we talking about football player? Like,
no,
like
but this is the thing. Let me segue that into my next pick. Because I think I've painted a pretty clear picture about where I'm going.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
And Dominican Sue.
Yeah,
Dominican fucking Sue. Now, look.
Now I get it. Okay, wait a minute.
Look, the size thing, obviously. He's a useful dude to have. Also,
he's a monster.
Also, Dominican Sue, I mean, widely known as the dirtiest player in the league.
I know.
Whenever they pull players, he's always number one. He's stomping on dudes' throats. He's stepping on them as he's walking away.
Stepping on kneecaps.
Kicking dudes in the balls.
Yeah.
He's like a real, like, also, the other thing, too, is, like, I think that if you follow the Dolphins, you've probably heard interviews with him. If you haven't, if you only see like the throat punching and like all that other shit that he does, what probably will sneak up on you is he's also crazy smart. Like he's friends with like Warren Buffett.
He's a smart guy.
And like crazy, so not just violent and like clearly willing to do anything in a fight and a giant human being, but also brain like a scientist. Like he's coming in, he's bringing tactics, he's got ideas. Like, and there's also just like,
here's my thing. I think
if the fight goes in a dark direction, he seems like crazy comfortable with that. Like if anything, he's the one pushing it in that direction.
I think that's the thing for me. I'm an honorable man.
Yeah.
This fight will be for honorable purposes. On my team.
Yeah.
But I will say
that my team's going to beat the living shit out of your team.
Well, okay. All right. Well,
I'll take a Dominican Sue versus Cameron Wake 7 days a week.
All right. So wait, how are we going to do the next bit? So you do the next pick, then I do. So you,
so snake it.
We'll snake it. But wait, I will say this.
Go ahead.
The Dominican Sue, if he is so big and strong, why does he play dirty? It's because he has weaknesses.
No.
He has exploitable weaknesses. It's and I'm pointing aggressively.
It's because it's not enough for him to tackle. He wants murder.
And it's an exploitable rage.
Blood on his hands.
Cameron Wake's demeanor and level-headedness will find a way to defeat the chaotic evil.
That is so true. Is it like, for people, like, I mean, I've done like, I've done like, you know, like a little over a dozen like Muay Thai classes. I don't know jack shit about fighting. Like if anything, I would say that like if you've never done like a boxing or like a basic fighting thing, just what you learn from one class already puts you ahead of like a number of people who just haven't put any thought into it.
Hold a fist alone.
Yeah. keep your chin down so you don't get punched right in the throat. Like, just
don't
like
tuck your thumb.
Hands up.
It's amazing how many people, when they go to throw a punch, tuck their thumb.
Again, like, if you've never thrown one, why would you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's sure. So, no, but the thing is, so to be clear though, like, from my end of stuff, I've watched like UFC and like boxing and stuff. I've minimal experience myself, like not like especially like a ton of it or anything, mm-hmm. but it's one of the thing. One of my very favorite things though, is most dudes who have never been in a fight have this idea that they have this access to this secret, incredible Hulk strength. And that if they ever like really like lost it, that they really lost control, they're like afraid of what they might be capable of. Cause they could like just beat the living shit out of people if they ever really lost their temper. I've heard that maybe not in so many words, but I feel like so many dudes have like conveyed some kind of thought along those lines to me. And it's just so funny because it's like, you don't hear anything remotely like that from people who have been in fights. Cause it's like exactly what you're describing as like what would be your asset is your biggest liability.
Yeah.
Like, cause if you ever see people who are experienced in fighting, when they get in a fight, they're like the dude who's like super, the dude who never gets in a fight is the dude who's like, yeah, you want to go, bro. And he's like getting really amped. The dude who fights all the time is like casual. He's like super loose. When his heartbeat is like, it might even be slowing down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's like, oh,
cause I did martial arts for a long time.
Yeah.
And when, like that was the whole thing, you know, that everybody's got a plan until you get, that's that Mike Tyson thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a plan until you get a punch in the face.
Yep.
You'd be surprised how that punch in the face rattle, like enrages people to the point where they're swinging wildly.
Sure.
And it's really just a race to who gets that first debilitating punch in the face.
Even just like in the little stuff that I've done, like even like, I remember like just sparring, like boxing and stuff, like in high school and stuff, like it does get in your head. Like
you get popped in the nose.
Well, cause it's a thing too. Like how we're just, it's like, especially you have like that moment of like kind of like bright light or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you're like kind of recomposing yourself and stuff, but that's not something you can prepare for in a classroom. Like
never.
But that's the thing. I feel like in Dominican Sue, all of his instincts, I feel like if anything, he is the dude who I'm afraid of what he's capable of. Like
yeah,
he is like,
yeah,
oh
yeah.
Man, he's just
that
like,
is the guy.
He's just going thumbs into eyeballs and shit.
I
like, <"Rah!" clears throat>
yeah. So who's your second pick?
Oh, see, this is tough.
And it's not in order of.
No, I know.
I think it's in order of we don't want the other person to steal.
No. And that's the thing.
Like I'm trying to think who I want next. Cause I know who I want on my team, but I don't want you to steal. I have a couple alternates.
I'm going to go Larry Zonka, and I'm going to go Larry Zonka just because
motherfucker.
So here's the deal.
You mean the guy that like Bob Greasy didn't do shit in the 72 Dolphins. It was
Earl
Morrell
or Earl Morrell.
It was all Zonka, like hand it to Zonka.
Yeah.
He was the Bo Jackson of his
Mercury
era.
Morris.
Yeah.
Zonka was just, I think that one of the funny things about this is I feel like there's so many teams where if you were a Steelers fan and you did this, it would be almost impossible to come up with a list because it'd be like a 9 million way tie between everyone who's played for your team.
Yeah.
Dolphins. I mean,
there are some tough, no, like we're not known for being
sure. We're about, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, literally in this list, outside of some of the players from the '70s that I just don't know as well, I feel like all the players who are the super tough, like, I think we're going to get to all of them.
Yeah.
Like within the 10 picks we have.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's going to be, well, at the end we'll do an honorable mention where we'll just throw some shit in.
And again, I want to pick like fun ones.
What's funny about Larry Zonka is like, if you're a fan, first off, this is a podcast. So if you're listening to it, there's a pretty good chance you're probably younger than me. Like it's hard to imagine that there's a whole lot of people who are like, significantly older. I mean,
it is a niche podcast.
Sure. I'm open to that idea.
Yeah.
But the chances that like you actually watched Larry Zonka play, if you're listening to this podcast,
my dad did. And I think my dad listens. Do you, dad, if you're listening, I haven't talked to you in 5 years.
Yeah.
Are you still my dad? Am I still in your life?
No, I'm just kidding. You have nothing to base that on. You haven't seen him since you were a child.
Yeah. Yeah. He listens. I mean, I hope he does.
That's why I do so many podcasts.
I'm just trying to find my dad through podcasts.
I don't know where my dad is, but I heard he's into podcasts. So
remember, he likes the Dolphins and he listens to podcasts.
He's like,
I'll reach you, Dad, eventually.
You're like squeezing your dad's old Larry Zonka jersey as we speak right now, just crying. I love you, Dad. Larry Zonka is, I think to so many of us, I mean, we've seen the classic clips. We've seen like the NFL films, like Winter Comes to Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
Larry Zonka, that no-name defense.
Yeah, all of that slow motion spiral.
These Dolphins got some tricks up their sleeves.
The trick was handed to Zonka, and he runs over people. That was a great time.
He's a dude who like, I mean, if you've seen him play, like you've seen what I've seen, which are a mix of NFL films and YouTube clips and stuff like that. But I think that if anything, part of what I like about picking Larry Zonka is he's just a dude who just feels like a myth of a man.
Yeah.
Like everything I know about him is like, did you know his blood was motor oil? And I'm like, yeah, interesting.
Meanwhile, he's still alive and you can talk to him.
It's got like a serious walrus mustache.
Larry Zonka listens. Zonk, if you're listening, who's on your fight club?
He just comes crashing through the door right now. Like you motherfuckers Kool-Aid, were talking about me. Like we're like, oh no.
Oh no. Because it is like anytime you see footage of like old legendary tough football players, it's grainy. It's like the Bigfoot footage. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to see exactly how they hit him, you know?
And the thing is like Dolphins as a team, we've had there's times where we've had some really good years and stuff. And I mean, Don Shula, great defensive coach, but at so many of the times we were always, especially during a lot of our strongest times, with some exceptions, we've always been kind of more kind of the finesse team than the kind of like gritty, like Steelers team. And look, we're going to name the exceptions to that list.
Yeah.
I mean, I just hope I name them before you do, but we're getting there. But I'm picking
fun ones.
But in general, it's like,
I know you're going to, well, here's the thing. All right. Should I say mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
My second one. I'm going to go with Richie Incognito.
I'm going to be honest. That was my next one.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
Because we need someone who's big and strong, but can also hurt you with his words.
Sure.
we need someone to bully you into giving up the fight.
When I looked up Larry Zonka, one of the quotes he had, one of the most recent quotes he was on the record on was about the bullying scandal. And he's like, yeah, we had hazing too. And they're like, why didn't it go that long? He's like, it didn't go that long because I'm 6'3", 230. He's like, I mean, I'm not trying to make this kid feel bad, but like, how does a 300-pound man get bullied for a whole season? And the answer to that question is Richie Incognito.
He got in your head. He's in your brain.
I felt weird about choosing him for the list because
he's an asshole.
Oh yeah, world class asshole. But also because after he left the team, he's been, especially like on the Bills, has been like a real. It's not just like he plays this like a
difference maker.
Like he's been more of a villain to our team than he was because he wasn't even like with our team like for a crazy long time.
No.
But the thing is, because he's so often been an adversary of ours, it feels weird to choose him because it's not. But this list isn't my favorite Dolphins who I want to have a fucking barbecue with.
Go into a fight with these people.
Because they do lists of dirtiest players, offensive and defensive. Defense is always Ndamukong Suh. Offense always Richie Incognito. Incognito is like a dude who. I mean, to be fair, Jonathan Martin, way too easy to be bullied. I mean, it's not a coincidence that he was out of the league altogether. I mean, he was a dude who. He went to like the super fancy. He went to like a super fancy school in LA. I forgot which one, but there was one of the dudes who co-hosts Adam Carolla's podcast had been an assistant coach on that team. Now, I don't think it was a team that he actually played for, but it was for that school. And it was like, he said it was like kind of high school where it was like, there was a coach yelling at players, not even like cursing at them, just yelling the way a football coach does. One of the parents like pulled him aside, like, I don't think we need to use that tone of voice with our kids. And
what? You're saying that kind of.
Yeah. And that's the high school that Jonathan Martin went to.
Right.
Then he goes to Stanford, is left guard for Andrew Luck, like through that program and stuff. Yeah. Stanford, really good football program. I don't know.
But Stanford.
Yeah. It's not. Stanford is like different than playing for Nick Saban.
It's not known for being rough and tumble. Yeah. Stanford is not a hard nosed school experience.
No. And that was the thing is that like he, and then, I remember after he left us, he went with,
where did he
Harbaugh? Because Harbaugh had coached him at Stanford, so Harbaugh picked him up because he was still coaching the Niners at the time. But even Harbaugh, like he just didn't really have
Jesus. What a pussy! God damn!
Incognito though, It's like, I hate saying it because he's been someone who's been like a villain to the Dolphins more than he was, but also just, he's also really good at guard, and we haven't exactly filled that slot since he left.
Since he left, I know. That's why here's the thing. I picked him because it was funny to be, I wanted to have someone with the, you know, he gets in your head and all that shit. But also, yeah, I would want him back. I don't care.
Sure.
I don't care. Like right now at this point, I'd be like, Richie, all right, get your asshole fucking shitty personality back over here. We need you to play some football. And also, like, try not to be a huge dick in public. Like, whatever, you don't let that shit get out. Encrypt your phone. Use WhatsApp or whatever. You know,
exactly.
Like, if you're gonna haze somebody and call them the F word or whatever, come on.
Well, he called them the N word. N word, which is calling someone a half N word is 100% offensive.
Half an N word, 100% offensive.
Yeah, exactly. We don't discount it.
We don't
take 50% off. No, but the thing is, I think that, like, I'll be honest, that kind of stuff is, you know, I mean, that's the stuff that people rightfully get demonized. And I think the reason why I and like a lot of other Dolphins fans, like, still felt shitty about him going is the fact that the entire locker room to a person, there wasn't a single person in that locker room who took Jonathan Martin's side. Not one. And the thing is, if they're in the locker room with this fucking psychopath every day and they're taking his side, I mean, it's me, like, the N-word thing is like kind of a deal breaker in general, right? But the fact that like all the dudes who were playing on his team, 100% of them, like 100% of them took his side, that makes me think that it's like a different thing that maybe I don't understand as well.
It was a lot. I remember at that, I could not vocalize how much I did not give a shit about the hazing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I could not vocal. I understand that it's terrible to be like.
It also is a power vacuum that was created by Joe Philbin being a pussy who doesn't belong in a fucking NFL bingo locker room. Like, do you think that shit happens in a fucking Bill Belichick or like a fucking Nick Saban? Nick Saban.
Bill Belichick's the one's calling them all N-words.
Yeah, you can't haze in Nick Saban because you'll have to move Nick Saban out of the way because he's already hazing.
He's already cutting the wheat from the chaff. He's already, you know, he's calling the herd.
That's such a tough thing too, is that it's like we're talking about all this stuff and like, there's like people on the list, like Dominic and Sue, and like, again, so many of the other people I'm going to name are people who are violent in a way that delights me.
Yeah.
But like, Incognito was like one of the dudes where like, I put him down on the list and I was like, I feel so weird about this. But like, the reality is like, 100% want him. What's your next one?
My next one. And so now I'm trying to think of like actual Brian Cox.
That was going to be my next one.
You know what? I'll let you have Brian Cox. That was just one I'm thinking. I just thought of now.
No, go for it now.
But, okay, fine. Brian Cox.
This isn't binding. Yeah. This fight's probably not going
to
happen.
Yeah. I'll save it for the next round. If you don't pick, you're not going to pick it.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to pick it because you're not going to know my strategy.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Brian Cox. I literally just today, because I told you about this earlier.
Yeah.
And I told it, I think I texted it to you like right after I thought of the idea. But I spent today just like kind of looking stuff up, and like there are so many great clips of like Brian Cox. Like, there was a cheap hit
taking
on a
taking people's heads off.
Like, the Bengals put a cheap hit on the kicker, and so he just runs over to their sideline alone, like to just take on an entire team.
He was a monster.
One of my favorite stories, and I, because Brian Cox. For context,
I picked him
fucking long ass fucking neck guard behind it.
Yes, the big collar thing.
Yeah,
the whiplash protector. I love that thing.
He was just such a beast, and like there's so one of my favorite stories. And so all these stories, for the most part, were happening when I was in like fourth and fifth grade. So a lot of these stories, like, I just didn't know the details behind, or I would see him in games and thought it was cool. Like, there was those like posters of him and shit with like the weird, like kind of disco backgrounds.
Yeah.
Like those like pro line or.
It looked like a glamour shot.
Yeah.
You know, or like those like photo gallery things that you would take at like JCPenney.
Yeah.
Sears photo studio.
He just, one of my favorite stories though, and I literally just found this out today and it just delighted me, is he had a somewhat turbulent relationship with the Buffalo Bills, and so
that was the 90s era, where we were constantly, it was us and the Bills in the AFC Championship for like 4 years, and it was, that was
spoiler
the time.
Alert, they won
yeah
every time.
Oh, boy, shut up, fuck you.
But they So he walks out of the warm ups. He just walks out on the field, two middle fingers in the air, like to fucking like tell the whole stadium to suck his dick. Then like, so because Bills fans, like, you know, like we're like yelling at him and shit. Cause of course they are. Cause they're wild animals.
Right.
Who like fucking parking lots. They're barely and like,
human. We get
yeah.
It.
No, my favorite part though is, so he gets fined by the league, because of course you can't do that. He sued the league and won.
Yep.
Got all that money back because he made the case that they had created unsafe working conditions. And I was like,
well, they were throwing, because they were throwing shit at him too, right?
Yeah.
Weren't they
he was like, he was like spitting in their direction, but like just the kind of disrespectful way, like yeah. Spitting at the ground. Like, I mean, like the way you spit at someone when you're shut standing up, 50 feet away from them.
Yeah, like yeah, the Italians. Hey, fucking pan,
hey, Brian Cox over here.
Yeah.
Hey, have some meatball.
Yeah, like when you think of an Italian person, you think of Brian Cox immediately.
Also, like the other shit that I found on him is, even as a coach, he was like one of the coaches when the Atlanta
right.
like fucking combusted. He's like yelling on the sideline to the defensive players. Do yourself a favor, look that clip up.
Yeah, he's not a good guy.
I mean, I could pull it up and play the sound clip, but honestly, the video is important. And like, just pull up Brian Cox yelling Atlanta players, because he's like yelling at him and like cursing up a fucking storm. But the funniest part of the video is there's all these like fucking water boys walking, trying to like hand players water because it's a game, and he's literally grabbing them and shoving them out of the way and be like, out of the fucking way. He's like fucking just losing his mind. There's also a clip of him when he was I think it was this season. I think he's coaching at Tampa Bay now. I could be wrong on that, but like he gets in a fight with one of his own players on the sideline. Even as a coach, he's still, that's a dude who knows his way around a fight and loves it.
Is it this one? Brian Cox, Atlanta Falcons defensive coach, curses out
yeah.
the towel.
Play it. Just the sound is good.
Oh, hold on. I'm on my headphones.
Their defensive coaches says to watch this. Atlanta's sideline rants spared no one.
He's yelling at the towel boy. Yeah, get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, what you can't see is that he's like manhandling these like tiny towel boys like a fucking psychopath. But yeah, Brian Cox.
I think Brian Cox
literally was going to be my next choice.
Yeah.
Like, I love the choice. Wow, so good.
So you got, what's your next?
My next one, this is something I'm self conscious of.
Okay.
What I feel weird about is this is going to be the third white dude on this team, which this is what I hate. Like, and I have this self-awareness, like all like football fans, especially like white football fans, there's this thing where it's like, there's like certain shit that we love, like the fucking like scrappy like white receiver, like yes. like every fucking white football fan gets a fucking hard on for like every fucking Wayne Corbett or like Wes Welker, or like that type shit.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that dude who like overly values that shit. Zach Thomas is,
well, that's just a different story.
Zach Thomas is undersized his whole career. And
he was a fucking monster though.
He just hit so fucking hard. Yeah. And like there was, I was like dating someone who worked with the team, in like 2004.
Brag.
And that was but that was the season that Ricky Williams split. So they went like 4-12 that season.
Yeah.
But like those tickets were, I mean, I already would have had tickets to those games anyway, but mm-hmm. these tickets were very attainable that season, because they were just, it was terrible. But like, I will tell you, like watching those games, like seeing like Zach Thomas hit, you can hear that shit from the fucking stands.
You can hear from the
stands. And like, he would just put such sick hits on people. And he was a dude too, where it was like, being around the team, like I never met him or anything, but even just like standing near him, he's like 5'11", and we're both big dudes. Like I'm like 6'5", 230.
You're, I'm like you're 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah. And that's, so we're two. Both
two in a bit.
Two. No, but I mean, like, so we're both like pretty big dudes. Yeah. And I will say that Zach Thomas, especially like a lot of times, like he just wear like kind of like a baggy Jordan shirt or some shit around. He's definitely like one of those dudes that like in a t-shirt and jeans, if he didn't have that, if he didn't have like the jawline of like a Greek god,
yeah,
like you would just like see him and be like, like, oh, that dude better watch his fucking mouth around me. But yeah. like, you're like, oh no, that dude would rip your arms off and beat you with them. Like, it would not go well for you.
I still remember a story. I remember he was on a radio. He was on the radio after like a couple games when the Rob, Paul and Young Ron or whatever down in Miami, down South Florida. Yeah. Yep. They would talk to like the players out during the week, and they had Zach Thomas on, and he's like, yeah, I had the flu and I had the fever. I was playing and all stuff. And like, what? You had the flu? You had a fever and you were playing? Yeah, I had a fever 103 and I was playing. And I was like, this is the guy, and now we're talking about a fight.
Yeah.
Who is, do you know, remember that Dom Herrera joke where he talks about the Irish guys that'll fight? If there's a fucking fingernail left of me, I'll fucking kill you with I'll wait on the floor and infect your foot, you know, like that.
Yeah.
He's that guy that will fight even if his arm's missing. Like in every, in every movie where the guy takes like 16 bullets and he's still walking and he's like, you know, like that's Zach Thomas. Like he may not be the biggest or strongest, but that guy will not stop fighting you.
Yeah.
That's how he would always hit on that team. Yeah. But
yeah.
Play professional level. And he was fucking tackling people, playing professional NFL football with a flu.
Yeah.
I don't get out of bed. I can barely make it to the toilet.
Well, in general, like the physical side, and especially this is tougher, especially knowing what we now know about CTE.
Yeah.
Is he was a dude who I wish I had these numbers handy because I know I'm wrong.
Put on his body on the line.
In his first season, he had a double-digit number of concussions. I was going to quote what I thought was a number. I know it's over 10.
Right.
And like, so what happened was he came in. He was a late-round pick because he was so small. The dude whose job he took was Jack Del Rio, the dude who later became a big head football coach.
Right.
He was the middle linebacker whose job he took. But he comes in and he's getting concussions all the fucking time, right? To the point where it seemed like, even though he was playing really well, it seemed like he might just not be able to stay in the league because the concussions were stacking up so fast. But then he started doing all this different shit, like sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, doing all this different shit to be able to stay in the league. But that was also something that why it was like later in the league, he got like rear-ended leaving a game because Florida traffic.
It's fucking ridiculous.
he plays an entire fucking NFL football game uninjured, only to get injured on the way home by some fucking dickhead who's like had too many Bud Lights.
Like that's the part that gets him.
Yeah, the end of his career though, like when he was like playing the Cowboys and shit like that, you're like, stop, please stop with that shit. But I'm
telling you, he's not going to stop fighting until he's the Burberry. He's dead. And
especially because, I mean, we're choosing people from any time period.
Yeah.
He's just that dude and
when he hit that, like, there was peak Zach Thomas and then there was a decline.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
We're talking about peak.
Parcells came in and Parcells, like they let him go, but it was just something where it was like, at the time that they let him go, it was just hard. Zach Thomas was definitely a dude who I think a lot of Dolphins fans really connected with.
Yeah.
Like he was just that dude who it's like, it's everything. And I was talking before about how we were so often a finesse team, right? Mm-hmm. And Zach Thomas was a lot of the teams. Zach Thomas never really got, I mean, I think there might've been like one season overlap with him and Marino at the very end of his road.
Right.
Zach Thomas just played for so many shitty teams. And like, he was always that dude who was working his ass off for teams that just never were. Yeah. He was never surrounded by as much talent as
he had. He's just a ball player, you know, like it kind of feels like that's all he knew.
Separate note. I want him in the Hall of Fame so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think
Dolphin.
Yeah. I mean, if he goes in as a Cowboy, I will be.
I would doubt that he goes in as anything but a Dolphin.
You get it, Zach Thomas. It's Jason Taylor. I'll be honest, Jason Taylor going in first ballot actually kind of surprised me a little bit. I obviously pleasantly surprised. Right. I always felt, but I remember like when Nick Saban coached Jason Taylor, he was like, if he had played in this 3-4 defense his whole career, he would have been a Hall of Famer, as if it was a foregone conclusion that he wouldn't be.
Right.
Nick Saban's a dickhead if we haven't covered that enough on this podcast.
Right.
But it was like, but yeah, that Jason Taylor not only got in, but got in first ballot was like, I definitely was surprised by that. Cause I mean, even like Terrell Owens and dudes like that weren't, but Jason Taylor got in first ballot, which is awesome. I want Zach Thomas. He has so many Pro Bowls. He has so much like other shit. And also just, he's a factor. And like Urlacher's going in this year. And they did like a side by side comparison of Zach Thomas and Brian Urlacher. Similar. Like they're very similar. Like there's some things that Zach Thomas did better. There's some stuff that Urlacher did better. But overall, they're pretty comparable. But it's like
it's all a matter of like Brian Urlacher just had did he have more success with the Bears? I mean, who knows?
I think he was also just Brian Urlacher was also just he was just like a name and like a face that like,
he had a marquee element to
it. None of this is taking away from Brian Urlacher as a player. Had a great career, definitely deserved to go in the Hall, but like Zach Thomas, and I'm not like one of those dudes who like every Dolphins player who does decent, I'm like fucking homer. Cause there's guys who are really good for us that are also not like Hall of Famers, you know?
And there's times where like, honestly, being a Dolphin and not getting the Super Bowl win and not getting the playoff, getting to the playoffs and stuff like that will hurt some of these people who have had legendary careers. Like, you know, the Marino not getting his ring is one of the biggest travesties in NFL history. You know, that idea. And
you got isotoner gloves.
Exactly. And that has nothing to do with me being a Dolphins fan. That's like everybody
who talks about
football, like who's the best quarterback. It's like the biggest tragedy is, you know, Marino not getting a ring.
But I think that that's also as Dolphins fans, because we don't have the Super Bowl rings and stuff. I think that's why we do obsess so much over like shit, like Hall of Fame and stuff like that. Because the reality is, if we're winning all these Super Bowls, the Hall of Fame stuff is almost just like an intellectual argument.
Exactly.
But because we don't have the Super Bowls, I think that's why we fight that shit so hard and feel so passionately about it.
So you picked?
I picked Zach Thomas.
Zach Thomas.
The other pick is, I mean, I said his name. I was thinking about it, but I think I'm actually going to go away from Jason Taylor.
Okay.
And I'm going to go for Joey Porter. Joey Porter. If you've seen the video of him fighting in a casino. At any given time, I feel like at any given time he owns 800 pit bulls. He's probably like fucking like just in like a fucking, he's just wrestling with all his pit bulls right now. And just like a mound of dogs. Like Joey Porter is a human pit bull. Joey Porter's best years definitely weren't with the Dolphins. And if anything, we signed him to that giant contract in the first year when the Dolphins site. Fun leap back. If you want to go on the website, you can go back. Because the first season that I started Saving the Dolphins was 2007. That shitty Cam Cameron season where we went 1-15. Mm-hmm. I spend that entire season ragging on Joey Porter about like, he just had no sacks. But it turns out, so Cam Cameron, after he leaves, Cam Cameron leaves the picture. They bring in a defensive coordinator who actually knows how to use Joey Porter. Right, next season, he has like 18 sacks and you're like, oh, it turns out that one dude was just an idiot. Like, I mean, Joey Porter kind of underperformed for us, but I mean, for all the reasons that we've named for all the other dudes, Joey Porter is like a ferocious pit bull of a human being who just like, you just get the feeling like he just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
We could do like two more rounds if you feel like you have it.
No, I had my five. I have a plan. I've totally planned. Am I going to get the last pick? I think I'm going to get the last pick.
Yeah. Cause I think I've already,
no,
get one more.
So my next pick, fuck. I'm torn because I want to do a funny one.
Yeah.
And I want to put Cody Parkey. MV Parkey.
Do it.
He's coming in there with the flying kicks. He's going to be doing spinning back heel kicks and he's got magic legs.
You really do see this the way you see like D&D.
I totally need a monk fighter class.
He's like your fucking kick romancer.
Oh my God. That is my, I'm stealing that for sure. Kick romancer.
Yeah.
Hey, he will kick you until you are dead, then bring you back to life and then kick you dead again. Yeah. I want MV Cody Clutch.
I just love this idea that it's this fight where like everyone involved in this fight are like these giant fucking hulking men. And then this like fucking like 130-pound boy comes in and a Dominican too is like, watch it for the feet on that one.
And Dominican is like, oh, I'm worried about him.
There's a really good chance he's gonna try to kick.
I want that scene
Don't worry about the hands.
I want that scene from Necessary Roughness. Remember Necessary Roughness where
we bring it up every week.
Every week. I love it so much. Where it's like Kabuto Sai kick to the, you know, whatever, and there's like he's just like literally goes ninja on everybody.
Yeah.
MV Parkey, secret ninja. And then wait, so that how many have I done? One. Is that my five? Is it my next pick five?
I think it is.
Fuck.
Let's recount them. I mean, who have you named so far?
I named Cameron Wake.
Yep.
God Amongst Men. Uh-huh. I named
Incognito.
Richie Incognito.
Yep.
For The Mind.
Yep.
I got Brian Cox for The Big Collar.
God damn it.
Just The Collar. Brian Cox for the monster hits that he would lay on people.
Yeah.
And then now I got Super Ninja Kicker, the kick romancer himself.
Yeah.
Cody Parkey.
So what's your fifth?
Fuck, I thought I was gonna get the last pick because I really had a dream. Do yours.
Okay, mine is because
you got two left, right?
No, I think I just have one.
You just have the one.
No, because I have Indomitian Sue, Larry Zonka,
Zach Thomas.
Yeah, Zach Thomas, Joey Porter. Yeah, so I got one more.
Yeah, one more.
Oh, that's tough. Thinking about it.
Right. I had a couple alternates, but
All right. So I would say for leadership, I'm going to go Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor. Look, some of the reservations. No,
this is a fight.
It is a fight. And, Jason Taylor is, I really thought about not naming him. He's 6'6".
Yeah.
He's a lean 6'6". Like
he was always underweight.
I mean, he was always the reality is like Nick Saban, like what as much as I hate his guts, mm-hmm. had he played, cause he only played like a 3-4, like a, I think he was like a Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he had like that weird, then they moved him to outside linebacker and then he was end. And then
that's what I mean. He played the Jack outside linebacker a 3-4. Had he played that his whole career? I mean, he already was a first ballot Hall of Famer. So it's hard to say like he would have been way better. But like the fact is like his very first season playing in that system, he was Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like if that doesn't paint a pretty clear picture,
it
made
a difference.
And from that point on in his career, and to be honest, like that move, realizing, of course, an undersized defensive end is a most natural fit to be like an outside linebacker in a 3-4. Mm-hmm. But it was like one of those things where it was like the rest of his career, even the other teams he played for, like the Jets time, which we'll never speak about.
Yeah. The
Redskins seasons. The rest of his career, he played linebacker. I mean, I think when he came back to us, I mean, I think we had him like playing end a little bit.
I forgot what scheme we were running. Yeah, we're doing that weird thing.
Hybrid systems. It's one of those things that just doesn't really work that well.
No.
I mean, I'm sure there's like a glaring exception that someone else could name, but it seems like most of the teams that are good are either specifically 4-3 or 3-4.
Right.
Otherwise, jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, master of none type mentality.
But yeah, I think that he's a dude who's big. I mean,
he's definitely going to be your lean fighter.
Sure.
He's going to be your striker, your reach fighter. He's long and lanky.
The concerns I have about Cameron Wake are the same I have about him. And at least Cameron Wake looks like a human action figure.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Jason Taylor.
In his prime. We're talking about prime Jason Taylor.
And the thing is, Jason Taylor, though, was a dude who...
Because he put on size for...
As nice as a dude as he was.
Yeah.
And, like, crazy nice. Still does a bunch of charity work down in Florida. Also, yeah. I think also because he's so tall and lean, like, almost, like, sneaky big. Like he looks, like, yes. lean enough, and it's, like, spread out that, like, you don't realize what a giant he is until you see it through the... Because he looks like a... Like a 5'10 dude who's in good shape because he's just well proportioned. He looks like a
big basketball player.
Yeah, but he's so well proportioned though that like, he
in pictures you mean?
Yeah,
and then when you see him in person, then you're like, oh shit!
And that's the thing, like, I'm not gonna lie, his dancing in the with the stars time doesn't help his resume. but you know what you need to fight?
Like a dude to cha-cha. He's got good footwork.
If you're gonna fight, and you need footwork.
Yeah, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
There were other options, but if I'm putting this list together,
I get it.
Like we don't have that many Hall of Famers, bro.
We don't. He's a Dolphin legend.
And the other thing too is he was a dude who all those teams, for as nice as a dude as he came off, everyone said like in a locker room, he was always like the undisputed leader of that defense. Whereas Cameron Wake. His play and his work ethic, I think, rubs off because people just see that he's a dude who's the first one there and last one to leave.
Right.
I hope nothing I said about Cameron Wake in the beginning made it sound like both of us are very obsessed with Cameron Wake.
Yeah, I love him.
But it's Jason Taylor is a dude who, like, as nice as a dude as he is, he also is intimidating. He's a dude who definitely, he wasn't like cheap fighting and stuff, but he definitely was a dude who would get in people's face, who wasn't going to take any shit from anyone. Right. He also was a dude who was more than happy to settle other people's hash.
Yep.
Like
there were times where, like, when they were talking about, I remember there was one game I was watching where they were talking about his size, and then like literally the next play, he tore someone's head off. Like he cleaned somebody out, like who went in to block him.
Yeah.
Like one of those, he just fucking floored somebody. And then there was kind of like that moment in the booth where like,
so much of his pass rushing was speed, but I mean, there definitely was that element to it.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got for your final one?
Now stick with me. Nick Saban.
We were talking about it earlier. I thought about it.
Here's why. Because I'm about to blow this shit wide open.
Yeah.
When our teams meet on the Rumble field.
Yeah.
There's going to be a moment.
The Rumble Dome.
Where both teams are running towards each other.
Yeah.
And at a certain point.
5'6" Nick Saban.
5 foot.
I'm going to look up his actual height.
The rest of my team. Wait, no. Stage three, you don't even need to.
Okay, go ahead.
The rest of my team will fall back and let him run face first into your team. And then the both teams will join in the beating the shit out of Nick Saban. Nick Saban will turn around and suddenly he realizes he's in front of everybody. And there will be that moment of betrayal where he's like, oh no, all 5'6" of me is about to get pummeled by the meanest and baddest Dolphins of all time. And Cody Parkey kicking the shit out of me. And I just want to see that so bad.
Nick Saban.
The truth is revealed. I have an inside man. This has all been a ploy for us to kick the shit out of Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. I've told this story before. Honestly, it's something at the time I did it, because I've been doing Saving the Dolphins now for long enough. Mm-hmm. At the time I did it, it was just so, it was immature, but it's how I was feeling at the time when he not just like left the Dolphins, but was such a fucking dick about it.
Yep.
Like lying left and right. Like he's just the worst fucking human being of all time. That being said, if he wanted to coach us tomorrow, welcome with open arms.
Yeah, real tight.
I wrote a letter. No, I wrote a letter and it was like, it really didn't spend.
Was it one of these open letter blog posts or sent him a letter?
I sent him a letter and there's no, especially for all the petty Auburn shit that goes on. There's a 0% chance he got it, but it was just, I was so mad. I didn't see, I'm not this dude. It's the only time I've ever done this in my whole life.
Oh, wow.
I literally just wrote a letter like addressed to like the Alabama athletic department, Nick Saban. And it was just like, dear Nick Saban, I hope you die of cancer. Love the Dave Kinney. And like in parentheses, Miami Dolphins fan. And that was it. And it was just, it was like one of those things where like in hindsight too, especially cause I was doing, I don't know if I'd started doing the Dolphins site yet, but it's one of those things where like, it's the kind of thing that normally someone would do, but like take a photo of it and do it as a joke.
Right,
so like then spread on like what then would have been MySpace
shit. You were like, I'm sending you this threat,
literally
this
was
letter.
Like, I hope he gets this. And I'm sure he didn't. But it was like one of those things where it was just like, I hate his guts so fucking much.
When he gets cancer, eventually, you're going to be like, it was me.
Yeah.
You know. It was me.
You know. Part of the solution.
But fifth pick because I want to see him. I want that moment of betrayal so bad.
Honestly, like Nick Saban, though, I looked it up. He is 5'6". As much as I hate Nick Saban's guts, and, you know, I do.
Yeah.
It's... You have to, I think part of you has to a tiny bit respect a 5'6" dude who spent his entire life yelling and screaming at like 6'8", 300-pound dudes. Like when he first became our coach, that first draft, we had the number 2 pick. Cause it was after the 2004 season, like after yeah, we was, went after yeah, went 4-12 or no, no, he came in after, after Winstead.
Right. Yeah,
because the season I referenced earlier, the 4-12 season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Winstead quit. Then there was an interim coach. Then Saban comes in. We have a good draft pick. We have the number 2 pick in the draft, which we went Ronnie Brown with. An arguably better pick might have been Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's no way to know.
The world may never know.
Equally good players.
Yep.
But he just went heavy SEC dudes. So he chose Ronnie Brown. He also chose... Manny Wright in the supplemental draft. We get in the seventh round, Manny Wright from LSU. And one of the funniest things was the first day of practice of him coaching our players, Manny Wright, who was like a defensive tackle, giant dude, he straight up made him cry. Like, yep. Not a college player, like now, like an NFL player, and like not like a kicker, like a fucking defensive tackle, straight up made him cry. And like, just.
Did you go to the same school as Jonathan Martin?
Emotionally,
where they don't even give letter grades because they don't want to diminish the drive a student has to get an A.
Of course,
we don't want to rank our students. We want to give them all like, oh, you got the grade of a unicorn and you got the grade of a lavender.
Honorable mentions.
Well, the joke aside,
yeah,
Nick Saban gets his ass beat. I wanted that. Sure. I wanted that curse.
But where I'm going with all this though is Nick Saban has spent his entire life.
Yeah,
like the fact that like.
Give him credit in my book. No, forget it. I don't pick him then.
I'm not giving him credit. You don't think it's weird that like he's been such a disrespectful psychopath to like all these dudes and not a like, I don't know. Maybe there's like an incident that I'm just unaware of. I don't know of a single dude going fucking Latrell Sprewell on him. And I can't believe that
because
they're so big. Their job is violence. And like, he's such a fucking over the top dickhead to all of them all the time. It's not even like a low key dickhead the way that like Bill Belichick is, where it's like,
I wonder if that's why he left Miami. I wonder if like he was just like, oh, I have more power in Alabama.
I think it was also, I think one of the biggest things was because he also was overseeing our personnel. I think one of the biggest things that happened was he chose Ronnie Brown over Aaron Rodgers. But then the next offseason, he surprisingly got us to, I think we were 8-8 that year. I know we won the last five games.
Yeah.
Or no, I think we actually were 9-7.
That wasn't the Wildcat season.
No, you think of Sperano.
Yeah.
We go in cycles.
There's mustache dude and then mustache dude.
It's a logical mistake to make in that, like, Cam Cameron was a terrible season, which then led to, like, a revamp, which was Parcells and Sperano. And the Weinstead thing was terrible, and Nick Saban was that reboot. But like,
right.
But yeah, so in like shitty, better, shitty, kind of better. Mm-hmm. No, I get the mistake. Also, Parcells and Saban's system's not way different. But the thing is, like, the Saban's whole thing though is so he gets us to a 9-7 season. We win the last five games in a row. Then it's like this off season. It's like, and he did that with like Gus Frerotte. So pretty fucking impressive. So then the next off season, we got to get a quarterback, and the choices are Dante Culpepper, who had a knee injury, or a completely destroyed shoulder, Drew Brees. Drew Brees wanted to come to Miami. If you're a Dolphins fan, this is the millionth time you heard the story, so I'm going to abbreviate it. He arguably went the wrong way with that decision, and it was his decision. It was Nick Saban's sole decision to decide to go Culpepper over Drew Brees. And like, normally, like sometimes like with mistakes like that, it takes a couple seasons to kind of be able to sort out what the right answer was
right away.
Immediate. Not only was Dante Culpepper fucking terrible, Drew Brees immediately the logic that he was using was Drew Brees hurt his throwing shoulder. And like, it's only in hindsight that we know that the surgeon who did that surgery, James Andrews, that literally apparently is something that surgeons in that field, it's like a Hall of Fame performance that he did on that shoulder, because it's like, it all has to be done within a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
He did this one in a million surgery, which saved Drew Brees' career, which, and again, I mean, there's no, you get why he did it, but that Nick Saban leaving though, when you make a decision that's that colossally shitty, because in college, I mean, like, obviously he's winning like a pretty fair amount, but you're rarely kind of, you're always going to get top recruits, you know?
It's Alabama.
That shit of just having to deal with being shitty for two or three like horrible seasons because you made one bad decision, that's not something you run into nearly as much in college.
No. Or at his level.
Sure.
In college. Whatever. But the point being is that I want to see him get the shit kicked out of him.
I wouldn't be surprised if like he just takes over that whole thing and then somehow like he like talks players into like fighting dudes on their own team and they're like, why are we even doing this? Why don't we just,
I don't want that.
It's unbelievable that no one's punched him in the face his whole career.
I'd like to think that.
Because if you ever, like, whenever they mic him up, you're like, I just.
Yeah, and again, like, I would smack the shit out of him.
We've all. Look, I. we've all, like, if you played sports, you've had a coach who took a tone of voice with you that, like, even now you think back on and you're like not crazy about.
And as a person, I think, like, as a student player,
sure,
the rules are much more defined. As a professional athlete, NFL player,
yeah,
I think if he would have stuck around any longer, that story might have happened.
Yeah,
there's no reason why.
I think it's way different when you're like an unpaid college kid,
exactly,
or you know, SEC, so lightly paid college kid,
Under the table paid college kid.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a lot easier yelling at 19-year-olds than it is at like 30-year-olds who have families and shit. Yeah, like, it's just, you're just like, yeah, you're just not going to talk to me that way, bro.
I'm a professional football player. You're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
But also, him and Incognito would have to fight it out over who fucks your mind the most. But either way,
so many white people on these teams.
Yeah.
I
just want to see Cody Parkey fucking come out on top.
Honorable mention for me is if Jarvis Landry found out this was happening and that he wasn't allowed to be part of it, he would just be pissed.
Glass breaks. You hear the Stone Cold Steve Austin. He runs in with a chair.
Fucking chomping at the bit. Juice.
And they start, he just like takes everybody out with a chair. Stunner. And then all of a sudden they start throwing beers at him in the middle of the Rumble Dome.
Yeah. For an offensive receiver, the hits he ended a fucking Bills player's career.
Yep.
But also just like the hits and blocks he puts on. He's a dude who loves violence, seeks it all the time. Yeah. He definitely, if there's a fight happening, like especially even of the players I named, there's a good chance he's the one who started it. Of the players I named, like if you're like, yeah, but who started the fight? Like Jarvis Landry.
Yeah. My honorable mention, I would go with the current player. I'd go Kiko.
Yeah.
I'd go Kiko Joe Flacco hit.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, dang. And then picked up, like, the completion of that, the Kiko carry. Remember when he had that guy up and he could have like literally power bombed that motherfucker.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I love that.
Kiko Alonso. What was his wrestling name?
Oh man.
You remember it?
I don't remember. I can't.
If you listen to previous episodes, we gave a wrestling situation to Kiko Alonso. Well, we gave a bunch of players wrestling.
One of the ones, I mean, I wouldn't name him just like for size and stuff, but like a almost honorable mention you want to give is just that, like, it's rare. We haven't, just my own personal stuff, I love like really hard hitting safeties. Mm. It's just, it's a fun position
high
to watch.
Speed. Yeah.
It's fun to like that Brian Dawkins Weapon X shit. Like, yes. People just like unloading on people. Like, I love that. Like, in we've had some of them with the Dolphins, but there's not a super long list. Rashad Jones he's a dude for a couple of seasons led our team in tackles, which is as much of a compliment to him as it is to an insult to the rest of our defense. Like, if your safety's your leading tackler, like, several things have gone wrong.
Yeah. But there's stuff that needs remedied.
But he is a dude, though, like, I mean, despite all the interceptions and all that other shit he got, and that's why I'm pumped that TJ McDonald's there now, too.
Yeah.
Because TJ McDonald, I mean, as much as Rashad Jones, like, can, like, lay a hit on people, TJ McDonald, there were definitely, like, a couple. I remember, like, games we're watching where we're just like, whoa.
there's that moment where you're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's just been so many times where it's like, dudes run past like eight incompetent arm tackles, but then there's like one dude left and it's Rashad Jones. And I'm like, oh, thank God someone's going to tackle him.
Right.
Yeah. Rashad Jones, like, hard tackle, fast dude, but also just in general, like, not big enough. Not like, I think I just, that's not so much a fight resume. I just want to say, I just admire that he's a tough player that we have.
Yeah. Of course, this is all moot because if we put Lawrence Timmons on the team, he will assassinate everybody.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, he is a CIA spy assassin.
He is a
government destroyer.
Here's what's tough. Like, there's players that we've had who you would take at other points in their career, like Lawrence Timmons, or best example I can think of that is Junior Seau. Junior Seau is but by the time he was with us, people forget he had some good seasons with us.
Yeah.
And even like played even more seasons with the Patriots. You could now safely say too many seasons.
Yeah.
But he was a dude who if you could take him like during his Chargers prime and stuff, he's definitely a dude that you would want in a fight. But by the time he came to us, he was good, but he wasn't like Junior Seau.
No, I'm just talking about the joke of Lawrence Timmons being
Lawrence Timmons, secret agent.
Secret agent man.
Murderer.
He's got, yeah, his ploy was to gather all of these people into one place. Bomb goes off.
Yeah.
And then now he is the toughest player of all time to have been on the Dolphins or whatever the thing would be.
Yeah. It's
I'm expanding the conspiracy as I put Nick Saban getting betrayed, getting beat up all of a sudden, but betrayal. Dun, Lawrence dun. Timmons takes out the entire
dun 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 yeah. dun. Yeah.
This is what you get in the off season.
It's going to be some weird episodes.
Yep.
News is going to happen. We get closer to free agency. We're going to break down the free agency needs, the draft and stuff. It's going to be weird episodes. We're going to do it. We're going to keep doing it every other week. If you're hoping for more football talk, tough shit. Like, it's just, this is as footballsy as it can get in the offseason.
We're not going to talk about whatever semi-pro fucking Canadian football. No, we're not talking about that shit.
Yeah, we'll break it down when the time comes. But yeah. This is what the offseason is going to be like. I love that we're getting more listeners in the offseason.
Yeah,
I love that you guys are finding out about us. If you like the Dolphins, we're going to keep it like this. It's going to be every couple of weeks, whatever news happens, we'll talk about that. It's also just going to be more fun shit like this, where we just kind of keep doing different stuff to kind of keep it interesting for us.
That's right.
It's going to be a lot of Van Halen talk.
Yeah, a lot of Van Halen talk. Just so much Puddle of Mud versus Load, Metallica
Fantasy
Load.
Draft.
Yeah. Talking about
Godsmack.
Smacking D&D and football
just
together.
Just all the worst bands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Godsmack.
Fucking Disturbed.
Yeah. Wah! Oh, man. But this is fun. I'm just now imagining, like, my D&D party. Cody Parkey, and then the only other person to really I need a caster, right? A distance fighter, and it would be Dan Marino chucking rocks at me from downrange, just like taking people's heads off with rocks.
Jay Cutler trying to chuck rocks. It's just not landing anywhere near where it's supposed to.
No.
God damn it, Cutler.
God damn it, Cutler.
Look, interested to hear from you guys too. In the off season and in the regular season.
Who Twitter did we miss?
That's what we want to hear from you. At Saving the Fens, PHINS. You can like name and explanation or just simply name. We'll read those in the next episode. I'm curious because I'm sure that there's some obvious ones that we just kind of blanked on.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, both of us, there's a clear recency bias, obviously.
Of course.
Like, I feel like we skipped entire decades.
Or like Larry Little and shit like that. Like, or like even linemen or something.
So many of the big tough Jake dudes Long. We've had. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. And he's giant.
Yeah.
I think the part of it is that, like, offensive linemen, unless it's like a incognito offensive lineman, so many dudes like Richmond Webb and shit like that, big, tough dudes, like, as a personality wise, and again, the part of this is just because I was so young, like when I was like watching these games and shit, that I just didn't know the personalities of these players. Some of those offensive linemen are these big, intimidating dudes, but they're just like, as offensive linemen, when you're the ones doing the blocking more so than the ones who are like doing the pummeling. And it's one thing also if you're like an offensive line that's like behind like a punishing running game, but that's not what those offenses were. I mean, they were like kind of protecting someone.
Yeah, so like Ricky Williams could have been a pick because he was fucking tearing heads off.
Fuck that. He'd like try to teach everyone how to meditate. By the way, I love meditation and I love Ricky Williams for that. But in a fight, like as much as
I love weed, I love meditation.
Yeah.
I love Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams is the last dude who I could see like in a fight. Yeah. I mean, certainly has a physicality for it, but like, it just, as much as I joked about Cameron Wake being like, the guys, let's use our words. Like, you don't meet a lot of like,
Ricky Williams would be like, let's use our spirits.
Yeah. You don't meet a lot of belligerent potheads. It's not really too much of a thing.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for this. You got anything you want to promote?
Yeah. If you're in the New York area, you can come out every Thursday to the Creek in the Cave, Long Island City, Queens, and watch Unsung Heroes and be on the show.
Fuck yeah.
It's a podcast that we record live. And then we release it the next day at zerosonheroes.com. And then zerosonheroes.com, zerosonheroes on all the social media. That's the main podcast. And you can hear our, you've been on the interview. You've been on both.
Yeah.
We do interviews.
Great shows.
We're trying to arrange to get more interview shows. And if you're interested in Dungeons and Dragons stuff, I do a Dungeons and Dragons show where me and a bunch of comedians and actors play Dungeons and Dragons on Twitch.
Yeah.
EMW3 Studios on Twitch. And this Wednesday we'll be live again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so come watch me do that goofy shit.
Nice.
And that's it.
Awesome. So if you're listening to this, yeah, you're probably aware of the website, savingthedolphins.com. During the season, it's basically just been like a promotional point for the podcast. Off season, I'm going to try writing some articles. I'm actually going to try to write this up a little bit as an article, like an article form, like what we just said, because I think I can distill it down in print form in a way that's fun to read.
Oh, you mean not all the rambling we do?
Fun fact, we normally keep a really tight eye on like the time of how long podcasts are. And before this, like we met and we were like, hey, because we don't have like as much news to talk about, if it doesn't go long enough, if it's only half an hour, that's fine. This is easily the longest podcast we've ever done.
For sure.
Hands down. We have bullshitted for like, I mean, there's part of it that
if you've made it this far, I appreciate you.
We pre-roll, so like I don't know the exact time on it because I haven't edited it down, but it's probably an hour and a half.
For sure.
But if you listen, I really hope you enjoyed all this bullshit, because
I hope being stuck in traffic was enjoyable because nobody planned this. Oh, I hope that the car accident cleared up while you're on the highway.
All the off season is just going to turn into these absurd rambling, like 3-hour podcasts where we're just like fucking like, no, I don't think.
Here's what I think about, you know, the ham sandwiches.
Who would win in a chess tournament? I say John Shula.
We should name this sandwich after Richie Incognito.
This has been a fucking weird podcast. I'm so good about this. Twitter again, at Saving the Fins, PHINS. I'm on Twitter at David Kenny, KINNEY.
I'm at Mike Mercadal, MERCADAL.
Yeah, definitely follow us. We want to hear your ideas for that stuff. Also, I mean, we kind of have our own ideas for what we're going to do for these episodes. If you have ideas of stuff that you'd like to hear us debate in these off seasons, normally during the season, it's tight enough that like we kind of have a pretty good idea of what we're going to do with it. We're open to ideas. If there's stuff that you'd like to hear us talk about, definitely throw it in. And yeah, thanks for listening. Fins up.
Fins up.